Welcome back to Fantasy Baseball Disrupted with a comma and an uppercase D. This particular episode is a DLSD, Daily Lineup League Domination episode of the Fantasy Baseball Disrupted podcast. 2023, it's my first one. It is, I don't know, January 19th. Now I do know. 2023. That sounds weird. I'm old. And this year I am changing things up completely, not on a whim, but because of the circumstances. I am not drafting my first pitcher until the eighth round. Okay, and I'm going to go through today my draft. And I think you're basically going to have an elite team, and you're still going to have a very good pitching staff. I draft, I believe, 8 or 9 starting pitchers, maybe just 8 or 9, and just 3 relievers at the end. I don't draft my first one, like I said, until round 8. Okay, now. Why? Let's give a little background. Yes, the hitting environment was not so great last year, and the pitching environment was better. But I'm not going to be drafting guys like Merrill Kelly, who had a good year, maybe because of the pitching environment, or I don't know, I can't think, but other guys who I think clearly benefited and are not from the environment and are not able to, in my estimation, repeat. No, I'm drafting studs, in my opinion, with a lot of injury risk. But that's why I'm drafting 8 or 9 starting pitchers, okay? I would like to just rattle off... let me tell you this. My starting staff, I'll give you my top 4 starting pitchers, and then I'm going to go round by round, assuming that I pick 6th. I know that's not the exact middle, but that I'm drafting 6th in every round. My best 4 starting pitchers, in my opinion, okay, are Luis Severino, Freddy Peralta, Tony Gonsolin, and Hunter Green. Now, Hunter Green's numbers late in the season were just friggin' elite. I think he's going to be, like, all my guys, I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I think I have 5 or 6 guys who could be top 30 pitchers. And the other ones, I have Grayson Rodriguez at the end of the draft. He's not going to pitch, 150 innings. He might pitch 100. But I think that could be really high quality at Camden. But aside from him, I think, yes, everyone, I think, is going to be in the top 50 pitchers. Not, I think, as a chance. I think they will be in the top 50. My favorite pick, I'll just tell you right now, is Tyler Malley for the value. And I will get to why he's my favorite pick. Now, the guys I mentioned, they have injury history, recent injury history. They're starting pitchers. On a start-by-start basis, you're going to get really quality stuff out of them. So if you get 20 starts out of some of the later guys, 25 out of some of the top guys, that's why you have 8 or 9 pitchers. But the quality on a per start basis, on a per inning basis, I don't think any of these guys are going to be capped at 5 innings, except maybe Grayson. Or is going to be really high quality. So, drafting 6th, okay? The ADP for this player is 13.3, but I'm drafting him 6th, and I don't know why other people aren't. It's Manny Machado at third base. I don't think he has shortstop eligibility. I don't need him to. All right, last year, I think he hit right around 32 homers. He had 100 and 100. That's only going to get better, or at least if you thought that, you know, he outperformed his expected batting average, which I think he did. He batted like 297. You know, it was in the 260s maybe for expected. It's going to maintain, I believe, with the just loaded lineup they have. I think he'll score 100 runs. I think he'll hit, you know, between 270 and 290. I think he'll hit 30 home runs. He may have 100. He may have 220 runs in RBI combined. And he's going to chip in 10 stolen bases. He had 9 last year. The year before, he had 12. And he's been healthy. And he's your third baseman. He's not too far off from what I think Jose Ramirez will do. Now, Jose Ramirez had almost 130 RBI. I don't know that he's going to do that. He's not in as good a lineup as Machado is. It doesn't really matter where Machado bats anymore. He's not going to bat leadoff. So, you know, even if he were to bat second, which he's not, in that lineup, he would still have a ton of RBI opportunity. I'm not saying 1 through 9 they have a great lineup, but, you know, the DH is gone. They have the DH, so that'll add some RBI opportunities for the number one and number two hitter in a National League lineup. So you got third base taken care of. He's hitting more home runs, you know, about 15 less stolen bases or 10 or 15 less stolen bases than Jose Ramirez, who is not consensus overall number one, but consensus overall number, you know, top four. And I am taking him sixth. I think it's not a value pick. I think it just takes care of third base, and I think you're going to get the value, but it's not a value pick. Okay, so if we jump to spot 18, okay, outfield, people are saying it's weak. I guess it's weak. Number 18, this player has a 22 ADP, 22.0. Michael Trout. Guy came back from what was supposed to be a debilitating back condition, you know, rare condition. He came back. He had 16 home runs. I think he was second only to Trout, or maybe he hit the most home runs. He had 40 home runs in 119 games last year. He doesn't steal bases anymore, you know, one or two. I think he has a total of 6 in the last 3 seasons, one of them being a shortened season. But I wouldn't expect any stolen bases from him. Although he's still very fast, and the new rules might inflate his numbers a little bit. But I think that lineup is a little bit better this year. No more, you know, Brandon Marsh, Joe Adell platoons. You got Brandon Drury in there. He's not going to be what he was last year in the Reds park. But he's going to be a serviceable hitter. You have Anthony Rendon back for the amount of games that he plays. He'll get on base. And Shohei Ohtani will do his thing. I feel like I'm ignoring another hitter. But he had 85 runs and 80 RBI in 119 games last year with 40 home runs. And he batted maybe like 260-something or 280-something. I don't care anymore. The guy, if he plays 150 games, is a 50-home run hitter. And what I'm saying is you don't need him to play 150 games to get your value. I think you're getting more than your value. He had a 990-something OPS. At pick 18, you have power. You probably have above average, but no longer a 300 hitter, I would say. 280 average, I would expect from him. If you're in an OBP league, he's a stud. He'll have an OBP near 400. And I think you'll get, you know, 90, 40, 90, 280, a couple stolen bases. He's maybe the second best power hitter in the game. Maybe a top 5 power hitter, even if he's playing 120 games. But you got power, average, 4 category stud taken care of right there. The next pick, jump to pick 30, is, I want to say, Dustin Harris, but that's false. Who is Dustin Harris? Michael Harris, outfielder again, okay? I forget exactly his numbers last year, maybe like a 15-15, 12-12 with 350, 380 plate appearances, something like that. I think he's going to be a 20-25 guy. I think he has the opportunity to get 90 and 90 with a pretty good batting average. I think he'll bat 280-something. He's still in a very, very good lineup. If he bats higher, I think he could get 100 runs if he plays 150 games. But you have some power in the outfield there. You have average. He's a true five-category contributor and could be a five-category standout. I mean, he's got, you know, 25-25, possibly 30-30 if you see improvement, but you can bank on 45 to 50 home runs and stolen bases, in my opinion, if he plays a full season, which I have no doubt he will with good average. Bam, you've got decent power, but stolen bases right there to go along with, you know, 25 stolen bases to go along with Manny Machado's 10 to 15. So you have 35 to 40. We've drafted no one with any real deficits so far, and that should be the case. But early on, I'm drafting people, instead of pitchers, I am drafting hitters who contribute to all five categories, not who just steal stolen bases. Tommy Edman, to me, is not a five-category contributor. He's very subpar in RBI. I imagine he might not get 60 RBI. If he plays 140 games. So he's not one of those guys. Everyone we've drafted so far is a five-category contributor. Well, except Trout. But he's a standout in everything else. Okay, your number four pick at first base, and his ADP is 45.3, so you're drafting him 42, is Kyle Schwarber. I just think the dude, especially if you're in an OBP league, but I think he's going to bat closer to 230, 240. The shift will be away. He's going to hit 40 bombs. He's projected to hit 37. He hit 46 last year, 95 RBI, something like that last year. I think he'll get more RBI with the shift gone. He's your first baseman. He's going to get, apparently, you know, five stolen bases. He had 10 last year. Don't bank on it. I don't know. Maybe you can bank on five now. But I really don't know the circumstances in which he got 10 last year. I don't. I haven't looked into it. But it doesn't matter. You can bank on zero, and I'd still draft him there. Why? Because I think he's going to hit 40 home runs. I think his power is sustainable. I think his average is going to go up. He's not going to bat 218, I don't think. And so this guy is a four-category contributor if you count stolen bases, but he's so prolific in home run hitting at first base. He'll go probably later than Pete Alonso. Maybe doesn't have as bad a batting average, but I think you're going to get 200 runs and RBI. I think you're going to get 45 home runs and stolen bases. Bing. Now, at number five, you have I don't want to say a four-category contributor, but one of those is stolen bases, and he could be a five-category contributor. I don't know. There were stretches where he was a good average hitter, decent average hitter, not above average. So he's not going to be a five-category standout, but he won't be, possibly won't be a liability. Anyway, that is you're going to pick him at 54. You're going to take care of your catcher position for 1 year. If it were Dynasty, it'd be different because he's going to be your left fielder, which is great for redraft because he's going to likely play every day for the Toronto Blue Jays. And if you thought he broke out last year at an ADP of 58.7, he's going to be worth the pick at 54. Dalton Varsho is going to play 150 games, we presume, and his park is... it's not that much better for home runs, they say, or maybe it's just park factor than Arizona, but it's got to be a better hitting environment with that lineup. He's going to have possibly, you know, I think you can bank on 80, 80, 25, and 15. Now at round five, that's excellent. And you know, maybe a 240 average, that's fine. But that's excellent for round five at catcher. I think he's my number one catcher almost easily. I think Bo Naylor could eventually be a type of Dalton Varsho But he's unproven. Bo Naylor's a 2020 candidate at catcher. I don't know how many games he'll play, but he's not going to play like an everyday left fielder. And so if you want to pick Bo Naylor at the end of your draft, do it, because I think that's a good pick. I don't have him in my draft, and I don't have another catcher for the reason sometimes I like the platoon catchers to get 162 catchers or close to it, catching games in the daily lineup league. I think it's really important. It's a little cheat code. Sometimes I like to get their backup catcher. I don't need to because he's going to play every day, nearly, you know, virtually every day, hopefully 150 games. So you've got, let's say, five from, I don't think you can count on any from Schwarber, but you can count on, but let's say five, okay, because that's what the projection's at. 5-15 from Dalton Varsho, that's 20 stolen bases, let's say one from Trout. 21 stolen bases, you know, 25 from Harris, at least 20. So that's 50 right there. Mike Trout, Machado, you got 65, or no, let's say 60, because probably only 10 from Machado, maybe even less. But let's say 60 already in your first five rounds, and you have catcher, first base, two outfielders taken care of, and third base. First base is kind of deep, but all the other, you know, catcher, third base, and outfield are shallow. Catcher is not shallow, but finding a catcher, even with the DH, who will, if healthy, play 150 to 155 games. And they're all in really good contexts. And I think the Angels are going to be in a good context. Now, round six, I have a 2020 280, you know, 80-80 guy. I think it's a great value for Starling Marte. He was hampered by some sort of leg injury last year. Yes, I believe he's 34, 35. He didn't steal 40 bases like he did in 2021. I believe he stole 40-something. I think he had the most home runs. I think he had 20 home runs, but an 18-25 guy is what I'm expecting, even if he plays only 130 games. And I think he'll play 130 games. And I don't think he'll play 100, and I don't think he'll play 150. I'm not being conservative there, I don't think. I think that's what he'll play. He's never batted under 280, I don't think. Batted 280 or 290-something last year, so he's good for average. His OBP is okay. It's not a total liability because his average is high, and he'll get you 20 stolen bases. So, you know, and not a liability with RBI. It's going to be a good lineup, and you're going to get, 20, 25 homers out of two outfielders. That's not great, but you're going to get 45 to 50 stolen bases out of those guys. And your other outfielder is Mike Trout, and you'll get 40 home runs there. So your outfield is going to average in a conservative, unless any of these guys get total meltdowns or injury-wise. Conservatively, I think you're going to get 80 home runs from three outfield positions 50 stolen bases. That's not quite 30 home runs, but none of these guys are going to get in the 70s if for RBI or runs, and they're all going to be, I think, around 280, so a plus an average, which is what that is these days. Hunter, no. Okay, now, my seventh round draft pick at 78, he is 85.7 is his ADP. I almost went with Tyler Glasnow because I think on a per start per inning basis, he could easily be the best pitcher in baseball. And in round seven, that's amazing. He's not going to go 150 innings, I don't think. He didn't throw very many last year. I don't know that he's ever thrown 150 innings. He may go five innings every start, which is, I think, given how friggin' elite he is, I think that's fine if he goes five innings for 24 starts at round seven. But I didn't pick him. It was really tough. This is my first bad context pick, but you could call it a reach. I just don't think so. At a 30, over 30, I think, strikeout rate, I'm picking with the 78th pick. Adam Najimy picks ADP of 85.7. What's his face? O'Neill Cruz. Guy had 17 home runs. I think it was like 86 games or something. 17 home runs and 10 stolen bases, and he got better in the second half. The guy has the hardest hit baseball in StatCast measuring history. I think just if you double those numbers or a little bit less than double, he's a 30, 18 guy. He's got a bad lineup, not a great park, so he could have 35 homers, 20 stolen bases, and 85-85. He's going to be almost certainly his average for batting average ceiling, I think, has got to be 250 for this year, which is these days right around average. Not a huge liability, but he could hit 220 and be worth your seventh round pick because he's, a 35-17 guy, 85-85. I know shortstop's deep. I know it. But at round seven, he's a bit of a chance pick, which I think the floor for this guy is like 30 homers, 220 average, or 210 average, 30 homers, 78-70, 12 stolen bases. The floor at pick seven, at pick 78. So then now I get into a starting pitcher, and all I have really to take care of is a utility or two and a second baseman, which we're going to find later on in the draft, and a bench bat. But now I go for Hunter Green. Hunter Green was friggin' elite in his last several starts, six or seven starts. He's got an injury in the middle of the year when he came back. He was much, much better ERA and whip-wise. He ended up with a bad ERA, but I believe he can be, on a per-inning basis, he could be a top-five pitcher. He's going to get you tons of strikeouts. He was kind of the reason I didn't pick Tyler Glasnow in round seven and instead went with O'Neill Cruz, because I don't think that there's a shortstop beyond round seven that can give you 35-20 upside like O'Neill Cruz. And I thought Hunter Green is not Tyler Glasnow light, but he's Tyler Glasnow light. He pitches in the best home run park by far. That's fine. Because his other numbers were so good. He's not going to get a lot as another bad contact pick. He's not going to get a lot of wins. That's okay. The upside is great there. I actually have Luis Severino as my next pick at 102. His ADP is 109. I actually would say Luis Severino is better. I would have picked him if he was going before Hunter Green, but he's not. And so I could afford to pick Luis Severino, who could be a top 20 pitcher. He could be a top 20 pitcher, but I definitely think he could be a top 20 pitcher on a per start basis. He'll get a lot of wins. I think he may have overachieved his ERA, I believe. But he'll get you more than a strikeout per inning. He'll get you a 3.5 or less ERA with a good whip, and he'll get you a lot of wins, I believe, still with that Yankee lineup, even if it collapsed a little bit late. 114, my pick. I don't think it's a reach. His ADP is 124. Nick Lodolo. Nick Lodolo was excellent. I think he's maybe a safer pick than Hunter Green with less upside. He's in Reds, whatever that's called, not Citizens. Chase, Citizens, whatever. Bad stadium, but I think he can get you a lot of strikeouts. I think he can have even if he has a sub-4 ERA, only 3.7 ERA, which I think he's going to have a better than that ERA, even though he had a mid-4s ERA, I think he could be a top 50 pitcher. At a pick 126, ADP of 133.3. We have the injured, didn't pitch a lot, but was pretty good down the stretch. Not top five pitcher like he was the year before, but pretty good down the stretch. Freddy Peralta, I think him at 133, I think that's about how many innings he might be able to give you, and I think that's awesome. You're seeing a trend of guys who might pitch 20 to 25 starts, but on a per start per inning basis are going to give you really good stats. I think Freddy Peralta could give you, you know, over 10 strikeouts per inning, like Hunter Green, like possibly Nick Lodolo. He could give you really good, you know, right around a 3 and a 1 whip stats now that he's fully healthy. But I'm going with 8 pitchers with per inning, 8 or 9 pitchers with per inning, per start standout stuff, not on the level of a strikeout of Tyler Glasnow or the strike, or with Hunter Green, you do. Not, but not all on a strikeout upside of, you know, the guy from Garrett something. The guy with the Yankees, who used to be with the Astros, losing my memory. If you listen to my podcast in succession, you will realize that my memory is getting worse and worse over the years, over the last 3-4 years that I've done this. I think this is my 4th season of podcasting. But definitely above average. I think in a daily lineup league where you don't have to play them for the week, and you can plug players in, that is the way to go for value. I don't think all these guys, like I said, are going to be capped at 5 innings. Who might be? Peralta might be in the beginning. Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, you know, might be capped. I have them later on, but they're going to get a lot of wins with possibly standout numbers. Now, my next one is Tony Gonsolin. I don't think it's a reach, man. I got him at 138. 142.7 is his ADP. He's going to get wins. He was a top 20, 25 pitcher last year. He's going to be, he's going to have a higher ERA. He's not going to be such a standout, prolific standout, if you can say prolific, for preventing something. In ERA, I think, I know the Dodgers shift possibly more than anyone, and that's gone, and that may be a big part of run prevention, but they are good in other ways of keeping players with injuries healthy. That might sound not true with Andrew Heaney and the guy that went out with Tommy John and Clayton Kershaw, but these are guys who we know have injury histories and real problems, and they got Clayton Kershaw. I think he didn't miss a start in 2021 or 2019. They've kept him healthy, and he's pitched 6 innings. I don't think Tommy John's something you can always prevent, unless you radically change how somebody throws the baseball. So I don't knock them for that. They kept Andrew Heaney kind of healthy, given his history. So what I'm saying is his injury history at the end of the year, forearm strain, I think they're very cautious. They'll have a good bullpen again. He'll get a lot of wins. He didn't go 4-something innings. He went 5-6 innings. He's not going to give you a ton of volume start-wise. Not going to give you a ton of volume in every start, but the Dodgers will still be great without Trey Turner, and they'll still have a lead after 5 innings, and their bullpen and their hitting will keep that lead more maybe than any other team. You'll get wins. You'll get per inning, very good stuff. I doubt he'll have an ERA above 3.5 in at year. I can't count now, but at your maybe 11th round, to get a guy that was top 20, top 25 pitcher last year, even with, 25 starts, that's great. Dustin May is another guy. He built up his innings a little bit. I think he came back last year, maybe after a couple months, May, June. And he wasn't great, but he was good. He was very good in the beginning. I think he's the kind of guy who can give you 8 strikeouts in a 5-inning performance. He has pretty nasty stuff. I did not track his stuff when he faltered a little bit later on, but he was coming back from TJ. And maybe durability was an issue. I don't know. That's fine. I'm not going to dig too deep when I'm getting Dustin May on the Dodgers, who by all accounts has filthy stuff, throws near 100. And in round 12 or whatever it is, 13, something like that. So now you have a pitching staff so far of Hunter Green, Luis Severino, Nick Lodolo, Freddie Peralta, Tony Gonsolin, and Dustin May. That's quality per inning. It's still quality per start, even though you'll get five or six innings, because consider not a lot of people are going seven innings. Like, it's just not a thing. Sandy Alcantara is a thing, but it's rare. Verlander went six and seven innings. The guy from the Yankees is pretty friggin' durable. It's just not common. So, you know, if you're looking at value over replacement, you're not going to get a lot of pitchers to replace him. Certainly not at those rounds, I believe, that are going to be as good who will pitch more innings. And if you do get him who will pitch more innings, it'll be Marco Gonzalez, and you're sacrificing quality, obviously. Okay, so I think that's elite per inning stuff, and you didn't start drafting until the eighth round for a starting pitcher. But we'll have more starting pitchers who I think could be elite. J.D. Martinez is a risky pick. I have him at 162. He's with the Dodgers. His ADP is 195.3. I think that could end up looking really silly. I think he could, with the DH, bat 140 games. I don't think he will, but in that lineup, he could bat 270 with 18 home runs and end up getting you 85 and 85. It's just a silly lineup. And need I remind you, Will Smith, people forget Will Smith is great. Gavin Lux could break out and was very good average and OBP-wise last year. He had a 336 OBP, but he had stretches where he hit like close to 400 one month, but over 300 for a couple of months. His power's not there. That's fine. But that's one of your weaker hitters. But I wanted to remind you, Max Muncy looked like himself. He looked like a 35 bomb, 240 hitter in the last couple of months after his stint on the IL. And so I think they get the most out of everybody. He's going to DH maybe even more than he did with the Sox in a great lineup. You could see a resurgence, at least, not in power, but it's a decent power park, Dodger Stadium. And you could get a resurgence in those counting stats from J.D. Martinez. And he's always a pretty good bet for average. 174 around, I don't know, 15 or something. Who cares? At ADP 206 is Vaughn Grissom. Second base. He's going to be your second baseman. Shortstop eligible as well. There were some holes in his game near the end, but I think, he could be a 2020 guy at second base with a decent average, but maybe he bats 260. Again, good context. He's not going to bat at the top of the lineup or the beginning of the lineup, right away, but Dansby Swanson is gone. So if he does perform, maybe he bats in front of, Michael Harris and the first baseman, Matt Olson, and in front of, Ronald Acuna. Either way, he'll get some either RBI opportunities, even if he bats sixth. And there's, I would say, you can bank on 15 stolen bases from him. And I don't know about the power. Could be 2020 guy, could be a 10-20 guy, could be a 10-15 guy. But he's a little bit of a risk, but that's fine. He's like your 15th, pick. At number 186, I have Grayson Rodriguez, who could just be an absolute stud at Camden. His ADP is 194.3. He could pitch 80 innings. Who knows? They could cap him intentionally at 90 innings. You remember he was probably going to get called up, but it was disrupted. People pitched well in Camden last year. You had decent pitchers who you could stream against good lineups at home because they pushed the walls back. So he could get great per inning basis. He's going before Tyler Mahle and Aaron Ashby, which I think is crazy, but that's why I drafted him there. Tristan Cassis could be a 35, 90, 95 RBI guy. Incredible OBP. Could bat 270, 280. Even if he bats 250, it's fine. He's going to be first and third base eligible. I have him at 198. And he's going at 230.3. I think that's crazy. I think he could be a top 100 player. I have 6 more picks to round out your 23-man roster in most leagues. And I will pause right there. Okay, so with the, 18th pick or something like that, let's see, where do we stop off? No time has elapsed for you listening, but for me it has. Tristan Cassis, Andrés Muñoz, who I think will get some saves. He'll have dominant strikeout upside. I think he'll end up being the closer. I think he'll be a top five closer going into 2024. Then I have Adalberto Mondesi at pick 222. Listen, the guy can play shortstop. You need a backup shortstop. He can play third base. I mean, he's eligible there. He might not play 100 games. He could not play 50. And I'm not drafting him for his power. We're drafting him to get the cheapest stolen bases I think we can get. And he plays 100 games healthy, which I think that was the plan, that they weren't even going to try to get 150 out of him. Give him some rest. In a daily lineup league, he could be an absolute steal. He could get you, 10, 15 home runs in 100 games and steal 35 bases. That's the kind of speed he has. With the new rules, we'll see how it affects people who already steal bases, who don't steal bases. I think it's going to help more the class of players who are good base stealers, in addition to fast guys, but the guys who are already trained in how to steal a base versus Pete Alonso. You know, it's just not just going to increase your speed. You have to be a good base stealer too, for it to be worth it. And so I think he's proven that he can at least steal a ton of bases without getting caught very often. Even if he's not a great base stealer, I haven't watched all the stolen bases, but he's fast enough. And he could get, decent runs in front of Pasquantino, Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez, if he bats there. And at your 18th pick, I think that's going to end up being a steal. His ADP is 255 here. I'm taking him at 222. He's your bench bat, and you plug him in at utility or third base or shortstop. And so now you have a backup of an outfielder backup, JD Martinez. You have a first base, you have third base, and you have shortstop. So you don't have a backup for second base or catcher. I think that's fine because you have pretty elite hitters. Then I'm going to pick at 234, Aaron Ashby. I think he could be a stud even if he doesn't start out in the rotation. Ground ball rate, strikeout rate could really prove to be a great mix, even if the shift eliminates some of the effectiveness of a ground ball pitcher. I think you don't give up on this guy because of his ERA and WHIP last year. Then at 246 is my favorite pick. He's going at about 258 ADP, Tyler Mahle. Listen, this guy in the last 3 years, his ERA away from the best home run ballpark by far, the Reds, one of those. Away from that, over the last 3 seasons, away games, I think that includes some Minnesota away games, but that's fine. I don't think he faced the Reds. He has a 2.97 ERA with like a 1.03 WHIP, with good strikeout numbers, and that's over maybe a season's worth of starts. So he's a good pitcher who's moving from a terrible pitching context. And I know I drafted two Reds pitchers, but I think, you know, they'll be good. But Tyler O'Malley could end up being a top 30 pitcher, in my opinion. Health risk, sure. I don't think it's that great versus other pitchers. But at 246, homeboy is going to be a steal. Guaranteed, he's my favorite pick. He could be your third best pitcher of my bunch. And I think he would be, he has the potential to be an acceptable SP2. I really do. But I think he's going to be a great, you know, SP6. On my staff and on yours, he could be an SP7. And if you draft better pitchers than I drafted, you know, you're in even better shape. But I wouldn't recommend it because there's a lot of value for a per start per earning basis. I'll stop saying that. Tyler O'Malley, I think he's going to be a stud. 258, I have Jorge Lopez. He'll get some closing opportunities with the Twins. I believe he's still with the Twins under contract. If he's not, disregard that. But I think he's going to be the closer eventually. I think Duran will, Yoan Duran will be sort of your one and a half inning, two inning pitcher whenever. I think he'll get some saves. You're going to be light on saves. Your last pick is going to be Craig Kimbrell, who also is not guaranteed. In fact, I think they guaranteed that they're going to go closer by committee. But if he ends up being a stud for the Phillies, I think he should get at least half the saves. He's got the experience. He's recently been very good. He's most recently not been great, but he seems like he's either on or off. He seems bad sometimes, even when he's throwing 98, 99. But, you know, they may end up saying, well, dude's pitching unbelievable. He's obviously got closing history. He's one of the three best closers over the last, you know, 15 years. So why don't we just rely on him? It might be an easy way to go, even with Sir Anthony and Alvarez and who else they got there. I don't know, but he's going to get you saved. So there's three guys who don't have the closer, the saves, and that's your last pick, who don't have guaranteed saves, may get less than half of the saves. But you're going light on closers because it's fluid. People are not drafting a lot of elite setup guys, so those guys may be available. You know, people draft four or five maybe in your draft, but there are going to be elite setup guys that become closers that you can pounce on. I know some closer positions have stabilized for maybe as many as 15 to 18 teams, but there's still a lot of flux there. You'll have no problem finding saves if you have to drop Grayson Rodriguez, if you have to trade one of your pitchers because a quarter of the way through the season, all your pitchers or seven out of your nine pitchers are healthy, and you can trade one of them, knowing you have pretty good pitcher depth. You'll still have seven or eight, you know, pitchers, and all you really need is five healthy ones with streaming opportunities. So, you know, that's another reason for, if you hit on six or seven of your pitchers are healthy quarter of the way through the season, I'm not saying trade away two or three pitchers, but if you need to trade one to get an elite closer because that's the one part of your game that's missing, go ahead and do it. But yeah, you're going light on saves, which is fine. In a 12-team league, the average number of closers is less than two and a half. For each team. Is that correct? Yeah, that's correct. Is that correct? No, it's three. Yeah, average is three. But some are going to go more than that. You're not going to have... That's the thing. You're not going to have 36, you know, closers who are the guy. So I don't think with one and a half closers worth of saves, basically, with three guys that... could end up being closer to two and a half. I don't think that's going to be a liability, and if it is, you have ample other stuff to trade. So now your lineup is Dalton Varsho, a potential 30-15 guy, first base, Kyle Schwarber with 40 home runs, 100 and 100, five stolen bases. Second base, Vaughn Grissom, who could be, you know, a 10-15 guy with 80-80, 270 batting average, but that's probably the floor for him. Your shortstop's O'Neill Cruz. The floor is like, you know, 30-10 with a 220 batting average. A third base, you're going to get 30-10 with 100 and 100 with a 280 average, probably 270 average out of Manny Machado. Your outfield's going to be Mike friggin' Trout, who had 40 home runs in 119 games last season. It's getting a little too hot in my car, so I'm going to put on the defrost. And that right there, the defrost point, is of vital importance of this draft. Do not forget that. There will be a quiz later. Nobody's paying attention anyway. Michael Harris, who I think could be a 30-30 guy, but I think his floor is probably 15-25. Good numbers. You know, 90-90 in that lineup probably. No reason to believe he won't play 140, 155 games. Starling Marte, who his floor I think is 15-25 with a 15-20. All right, at the absolute minimum, if he plays 130 games, I think he'll get more like 16-30 with a good average. What do you got? JD Martinez will be your either your second utility or your bat off the bench, an outfielder too to plug and play. You have Tristan Casas, who I think is going to be remarkable, 90 home runs, 35 home runs. I really do think that. I don't know how many runs he'll get because the back part of the lineup isn't great, and he'll bat fifth or sixth. Although with Trevor Story out, who knows? He might bat fourth, which will be better for him. You have what's his face, Adalberto Mondesi, who, if he gets going and he's healthy, you're going to look at, shoot, should we have drafted him in the top 150? Should we have drafted him in the top 100 if miraculously he plays 120, 130 games? But he's going to be your bench bat who will get you acceptable power. Maybe okay runs, probably be a liability at batting average and obviously OBP and RBI, but remarkable stolen base ability off the bench. And you already have 100 stolen bases in your lineup with 9-10 hitters, seven of them contributing more than one stolen base. Cassis, maybe he'll get three stolen bases. JD Martinez won't get any. Mike Trout probably get one or two. So, then your starting pitching is, we went over it most recently, so I'm not going to name them all off, but to me, they're all in the same category. They're going to go 20-25 starts. They're going to give you plus quality, above average fantasy. And a couple of them will pop into nice SP2s. Freddie Peralta could be a nice SP2. Hunter Green has the ability to be an SP2. Nick Lodolo has the ability to be a very good number three starting pitcher on, you know, maybe three quarters of the staffs. Luis Severino could be a very good number two. Tony Gonsolin could be a very good number two or three. Dustin May could break out and be a number two or three, but a very good number four. Tyler Mahle, I think, could be an acceptable. I really do think he could be an acceptable number two on some teams. Not if you're going, Scherzer, Corbin Burns at the turn, but. Grayson Rodriguez is a great guy to pick right around 180. I think that's just a winning lineup. And there are no shortage of replacement players for
that for these guys, because I'm drafting them only a little bit in the early rounds, only 5-10 spots before their ADP. There are other candidates. This episode would be too long if I gave backup candidates, but you get the idea. Five category contributors in the early rounds, which can only be a hitter because starting pitchers can't get saves, and or standout power guys with Mike Trout and Kyle Schwarber. And you should be elite everywhere vis-a-vis other people in your league. And that's it. Yeah, can I get a small fry and a sweet tea? Maybe just small.
Anything else?
Yeah, a cup of water. And can I get an Oreo McFlurry?
I'm sorry, we don't have McFlurry right
now. No ice cream stuff? I'll get a iced caramel iced coffee.
What size?
Medium, is that one?
Yeah.